going to do 4 weeks of this really nice meditation, the cleansing body, speech and mind, the Om Ahum meditation. But as usual, we'll have two meditations in the class. So the first thing that I wanted to do, just as an introduction to welcome everybody, was run one of the polls and see, it's a welcome poll. Welcome to this series of meditation. I'm going to launch the poll and hopefully you'll be able to see it. But if you can't see it, I'll read out the questions to you. There's only four and you can pick the one that's the most relevant. So is this your first time joining us? Answer one, this is my first time to meditation at all. Two, I've been coming along in person and I'm joining for the first time online. Three, I'm a regular online attendee. Or four, I already abide contentedly in the virtual world. So it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's just a nice way to get started. Where do we fall in the spectrum tonight? Right, and the winner is I'm a regular attendee. So we're not yet abiding contentedly in the virtual world. I would have said that. I love the virtual world. So that's the first thing. Let's do our first meditation. And I wanted to start with a little quote from Lama Yeshe. And he says, without understanding how your inner nature evolves, how can you possibly discover eternal happiness? Where is eternal happiness? It's not in the sky or in the jungle. You won't find it in the air or under the ground. Everlasting happiness is within you, within your psyche, your consciousness, your mind. That's why it's important that you investigate the nature of your own mind. So what we're going to do over this series of meditations is to start investigating the nature of our mind and becoming aware of our whole inner environment. So let's do our first simple breathing meditation to start the evening. And we'll spend a little bit of time of settling the posture, then settling the mind and doing this really nice breathing meditation, very simple and easy. So for the posture, whether you're on a chair or a cushion, the main thing is to try and have your hips higher than your knees. So you might need a sloping cushion on the chair, a sloping cushion on the floor, put something behind the back legs of the chair. If our knees are lower than our hips, then naturally our back will be straight. And that's the most important thing, to be able to keep our posture alert but comfortable and our back straight but still keeping the natural curvature but not all hunched over like we normally are looking at a screen. And we want to be able to do that without strain, because meditating, it's not supposed to be a chore or a strain. So the easiest way to keep our back naturally straight is to just make sure our hips are higher than our knees. So whichever way you can do that. And then try and make your posture relatively symmetrical. So if you're on a chair, feet firmly on the ground. Try not to have your feet all spread out or your arms spread out. Try and have a contained kind of posture. If you can, it's quite comfortable to have your hands in your lap. Right palm on top of left with the thumbs lightly touching so that the elbows are a little out from the torso. And to adjust the spine, imagine a thread of light running from the base of your spine up through your body, just in front of the spine, and then coming out the crown of your head. So especially if you've had a long day, feel the weight of your body supported by that thread of light. Feel your posture naturally extend upwards. You'll notice that your head just slightly tilts forward. Pull your chin in. And once the spine is straight, then release any tension from the neck and the shoulders. because we are being supported from our crown by this golden thread. So the weight of our body is supported. So then we can afford to release and relax our shoulders. If they're really tight, squish them up. Try to touch your earlobes with the tips of your shoulders. Tight, 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 and then let them drop. And do that a couple of times. Tight, 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 and let them drop. And the spine naturally straight, making sure you're not tipping to one side or the other. Relaxing the jaw, putting a slight smile on your lips. Resting the tongue on the upper palate behind the top teeth. Letting your eyes just be lightly closed or a little sliver of light coming in, and releasing any tension from the eyelids, from the temples, from the frown lines, the forehead. Feeling that your gaze changes from being tunnel vision to being like a wide screen, expansive, unfocused. Your gaze inwards. And then once the body is in a good position for meditating, comfortable but contained, bring your attention to the breath. Just become aware of the rising and falling of the breath. And let everything else settle down, just like autumn leaves naturally come to rest once the wind has stopped. So we just shift our focus to this one simple thing, just becoming aware of the breath and not getting involved in anything else. Thoughts and memories and sensations will all arise, and as they do, just feel them naturally settle down like those autumn leaves coming to rest, because you're not invigorating them with your attention. Just as they arise, let them go. Keep on bringing your attention, your focus, just back to the breath. Breathing in, breathing out. So without trying to make those distractions go away or not have any, just whatever arises in the mind, with the same momentum, let it fall away. If there are distractions, just notice a name. If a sound captures your attention, instead of imagining what's causing it, just notice, sound, let it go, bring the focus back to the breath. If the inner chatter arises, that constant inner dialogue. Just become aware of it and shift your attention from that, just like the busy leaves, back to the breath, and that inner chatter will naturally subside. No need to get frustrated with it or push it away. Just shift your focus back to the breath, breathing in, breathing out. Or if an itch or a discomfort arises, again, without trying to get rid of it, just noticing the sensation, it will naturally subside. We don't have to do anything about it. It's only a short meditation. We'll be able to move later on. So just notice physical sensation and bring your focus back to the breath. And as the busyness of the day begins to subside, you might notice an underlying feeling tone. And again, without needing to change it, without sinking into it, just recognizing that feeling tone, naming it, and bringing your focus back to the breath. You're not reducible to any one feeling. It's an emotional sensation, and just like physical sensations, it will come and it will go. No need to try and change it or to panic. No need to dive into it. Just notice the feeling tone, name it, and bring your focus back to the breath. Well, you may feel as we're sitting here quietly that your mind becomes a bit bored or a bit restless. So without trying to do anything about that either. Noticing that internal environment. Naming it for what it is, restlessness, underlying low-level dissatisfaction, not needing to do anything about it, just bringing the focus back to the breath. Maybe like a hum in the background, but it is not you. And even if the distractions are something enjoyable, now that we've given ourselves a bit of mental space, there is space for things we're looking forward to arise, a better quality of distraction. But even then, without needing to follow, without sinking into those daydreams, just noticing that they arise, naming them, let them go. But just for now, we're focusing on the breath. Even if they're important, we can come back to them later, just not at the moment. At the moment, whatever arises, notice it, name it, and bring your focus back to the breath. So during this meditation, we've been noticing whatever distractions and letting them go. So very gently just shift your focus to that awareness. That spaciousness and awareness in which everything arises and falls away. Awareness without limit, infinitely expansive. That inner clarity in which everything, all possibilities can arise and fall away. Feel how that awareness has no limits. So if distractions, sensations, thoughts or emotions arise, as they do, become aware of the awareness of them. Just shifting your focus from being involved in that distraction to noticing the awareness. And then recognize this awareness as being your nature, this infinite clarity in which everything can arise and fall away, all possibilities. By nature clear, luminous. You are not your distractions, your emotions, your body. All of those things come and go. So we can bring this first meditation to an end by dedicating all of our efforts that by recognizing the infinite clarity and luminosity of our nature, we can naturally release all of those distractions, negativities. We can feel more open, clearer, and dedicate that we can come to know the nature of our mind. As Lama Yeshe said, everlasting happiness is within you, within your psyche, your consciousness, your mind. So dedicate all of the efforts of this meditation to creating harmony around us by developing that inner understanding and awareness. And then take a nice deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Gently open your eyes if they're closed and bring your focus back to the room. Move your posture if you need to. Straighten your legs out if you're sitting cross-legged. Relax. And let me know if there's anything that you'd like to put into the chat. Any questions or comments about that first meditation? Question about prostrations. Is there a spiritual benefit to doing them? Yes, that's the number one benefit. That's the main benefit. should you notice a difference? Yep. And I only started doing them recently every week. Okay. So doing prostrations has multiple levels of benefit. So in the monasteries, you know, lots of young monks full of energy and things. So instead of playing soccer, the main thing everybody did for their physical exercise was the debating and prostrations. So prostrations has this benefit of keeping us fit, exercising and stretching our body, but that's just a temporary benefit. And the main benefit is for the mind. It's really good if whatever exercise that we do, we can have a component that's to do with the mind. Otherwise, it's a huge waste of energy because it just keeps our body going for a very short amount of time. And then when we get too old to do it, or we get sick, or we die, then all that effort's wasted. So if we just get fit to keep our body fit for no other reason, or for looks, or even just for health without a reason of why, it's just not good enough. It's also why people fall off their fitness regime. So we need to have a real inner reason for doing them. And so the main purpose of prostrations is twofold. So the one purpose is to get rid of our pride. So we are paying obeisance, homage. We are bowing down. We are putting ourselves below something that's bigger and better than us. And that's a very healthy thing to do for our psyche, to whittle away pride, because pride is the biggest barrier to development, to self-development, to learning things, to liberation. Pride is just massive. It stops us, it alienates us, and it means we can't learn anything new. So that's one of the things, the whole thing of actually physically bowing down. So what we're bowing down to is all the enlightened qualities, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. What a fantastic thing to bow down to. It also means that that way we become open-minded. We open our mind by purposefully subjugating ourselves to something instead of to money or shopping, to the qualities of enlightenment, universal kindness and wisdom. That's a fantastic thing to pay homage to. And physically doing it changes us. So that's one thing. And the other side of it is drawing closer, or drawing forth, the good qualities. So we bring forth those qualities. Say if we're bowing down to the Buddha, we try and bring forth those qualities within us. So we cultivate those qualities. So it becomes like an activity. So often people will circumambulate around a holy object like a stupa or a mountain, doing prostrations. And so you are literally doing a prostration, then walking forward, then doing another prostration, then walking forward. So that's that momentum of going towards, of cultivating good qualities. So there's a few ways to do prostrations. You can do them the leisurely way at your own pace, or you can just go hell for leather and do it as a workout. You know, cardio and muscles and everything like that. Lose weight, get fit. You've got to keep the mind component. And then it becomes, the sum becomes bigger than the parts, because you've got body, speech and mind together. And when they're together, instead of just the mind or just the body, it becomes far more powerful. So our practice becomes very focused. It's very easy to visualize as you're going down, bowing down to all of those qualities, as you're coming up, drawing all sentient beings out of suffering. And because it's a physical sensation, it's very easy for our mind to concentrate on. So it can be very powerful practice. And Geshe Tashi Sering, who taught here for many, many years, he was a resident Geshe at Lungri Tangpa Center, at Chenrezig Institute for about 18 years, and visited Lungri Tangpa Center. So he would do 20 to 40 minutes of prostrations every day up until his early 80s. Maybe he does a few less now. Quite a lot. And that's why he'd bound up and down the mountain at Chenrezig Institute so easily while the rest of us, like me, are struggling on. So that's the short story about prostrations, but it's a really incredible way to purify negativities. I'll give you a little bit of background of the next meditation. So this is the main meditation that we're going to be doing, the Om Ahom meditation. And Jane emailed me before about a little bit of background about, well, what does the Om Ahom stand for? So I've kind of called it that meditation because that's the most, it's easiest way to recognize it. So these syllables, Om Ahom, I might just start the screen share actually and show you. So there we are, they're the syllables, the white Om, these are in Tibetan, the red R and the blue Hum. It's a depiction, it's called a seed syllable. So it's a depiction of a property of our mind that we have the seed or the potential for enlightenment. And we can be told that in words, but how do we have it as an experience? So by imagining a white Om and a red R and a blue Hum and thinking about what they represent. So the Om represents the completely purified, enlightened form. And when we do the meditation, we imagine the white Om kind of in the center of our skull, radiant, made of light. And it's there because all of our senses are based in our head, aren't they? Sight, sound, touch, taste, everything's there in the head. It's kind of like the seat of our form, our physical form, and also the brain there. So the machinery, the driver of the body there, the brain. So the Om is like a signifier that we have potential for enlightened form. We have the seed of it. So it's recognizing that. And then the R at the throat, it's to remind us that we have a potential for enlightened communication, enlightened speech. And the Hum at the heart, that we have a potential for a fully awakened, enlightened mind. So the blue Hum, like unobstructed space. You know, we think of looking up at the sky. And as you look up towards the very top there, it gets darker and darker, doesn't it? That rich blue that just goes on forever. So the same with the mind. When we see various tunkas of Chan Rezig or Tara, any of the Buddhas, often those paintings of the tunkas, if you look on the other side, they've drawn an Om and an R and a Hum at those levels of the form of the tunka. And that's a way of blessing the tunka, of inviting all the qualities of enlightened body, speech and mind into that object and becomes a holy object, like consecrating the object. When we do visualizations of any of the tantric deities, they always have a white Om, a red R, and a blue Hum to show that they're fully enlightened Buddhas. So it's a signifier, very profound signifier. And we too have that potential. The nature of our mind is no different from the nature of the mind of the Buddha, of Tara, of Chen Rezig. We also have that potential. We just haven't, like a seed, we haven't grown it to its potential yet, but the potential is there. So it's all very well to be told that, oh yeah, I've got the same potential as a Buddha, but we don't feel it, do we? Because we have no way to relate to it. So this meditation is a way of beginning to relate to it, beginning to see that potential and focus on it. And whatever we focus on becomes strong, we become familiar with it. And then when we become familiar, then one day we'll be able to embody it, literally. So it all starts with this imagination. And for a while, it'll just be an imagination. Then after a while, the imagination will begin to match what's there. And then after a while, we'll have a direct perception of it. So don't feel that it's silly to start off with make-believe like that, because even though it starts as make-believe, it is possible to bring it into reality. It is an actual potential. So it isn't silly. And in fact, to have that full experience of enlightened body, speech and mind, we've got to relate to it in a full way with our body, speech and mind. So that's why we need to do a meditation. And it's why we need to chant. And when we chant it, we hear the syllable, we feel it in our body, our whole body resonates, and our mind is experiencing the meaning. So again, we get integrated, body, speech, and mind becomes very powerful. So this meditation comes from Lama Yeshe, and here is a photograph of Lama Yeshe at Mooloolaba in Queensland, taken in the early 70s. Lama Yeshe meditating on the beach. It's the best of both worlds, isn't it? And there is a depiction there of the Om, Ah, and Hum. This meditation was led many times by Lama Yeshe, and it's been collated in this book called Life, Death and After Death. So actually it's a book about life, the universe and everything. And he leads this meditation and talks about it all the way through the book. When we imagine these syllables, we kind of have a quite a sophisticated imagery in our mind, because we're so used to watching movies. So we're used to seeing things from a big panoramic shot and then zooming in really close. And you know, when you zoom in, the thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So when we imagine these Om Ah Hum, they're actually quite delicate and very bright, quite small in our body. But when we're doing the meditation, of course, because our focus goes to them, then we can think of them as being really big. It's up to us. It's nice to think of them. They're there as seeds all the time. So now we're going to bring our attention to them. So let's start the meditation. Getting back into that posture that we should be fairly familiar with, straightening our spine, aligning our vertebrae, hands in the lap, right palm on top of left with thumbs lightly touching, elbows a bit out from the torso. Making sure our head is just slightly tilted forwards and pulling the chin back a bit, at least making sure it's not sticking out. Relaxing the jaw, teeth just slightly apart, tongue on the upper palate behind the top teeth. Eyes gently closed. Letting your shoulders drop. Just pulling them back a little bit so the whole chest and heart area is open. And then, having adjusted our body, Now we adjust our mind to set our motivation. What is the purpose of this meditation? So we have a purpose for oneself and for others. The purpose for oneself is to be able to release all of the distractions of this life and bring forth our good qualities, to cultivate those good qualities so naturally we experience happiness. We become calmer, kinder human beings, wiser, with a clear mind. The meditation, the purpose for others is that why we want to do this is a lot more than just ourselves, just our own benefit. But we're interconnected with everybody. We're in the world. Everything that we do has consequences, and what others do has consequences on us. So we need to create harmony and safety. We need to be able to help others bring forth their good qualities, not be a trigger for their negative ones. So this is a good starting point for the motivation, but we can have a much bigger reason for doing this practice. That by recognizing our own nascent potential for enlightenment, we have that potential within us. We just aren't aware of it. So we're going to do this meditation to bring forth those enlightened qualities. So we can become a Buddha, become enlightened with perfected body, speech, and mind, and then be able to effortlessly, perfectly help every single living being out of suffering and into everlasting happiness. That can be the ultimate result of this meditation. So we set that as our main purpose, and then everything else in between we can also get. So imagine in the center of your head is a white Om. At the level of your forehead, there in the middle of your skull, a beautiful glowing white Om. And recognize that this white Om is the pure energy of the divine body of all the Buddhas. It's the essence of completely purified physicality. It's radiating blissful white light, emanating light in all directions, and vibrating with its own sound of Om. And this white light and the vibration of Om fills your whole body. It fills all your veins and arteries, all the strata of the muscles of your body, or the inside of your bones. It flows through all of your nervous system, your psychic channels, filling your whole body with blissful, radiant, white light energy. And as this blissful white light flows through you, it cleanses or purifies all of your illnesses. It completely cleanses and purifies your DNA. All the negative karmas collected with the body. All addictions, compulsions. your entire body from head to toe, completely full of blissful, radiant, white light energy. So concentrating on this experience, filling your whole being, we'll recite the Om together. Om. 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 So letting that resonance flow through your whole body, the white light flowing through your whole body. Every atom vibrating with this white light energy, purified, enlightened form. Remaining perfectly still, fully aware. All your attention on the light consciousness, the white Om at the center of your head. Be intensely aware and let go without sluggishness or distraction. Unconcerned with good or bad, not reacting, completely free of any internal conversation. Your mind intensely aware of the white light energy. Your body filled, energized with blissful white light. Feel that all the illnesses and negativities are completely purified in that white radiance. You are in tune with enlightened physicality. And now gently move your focus to the red R there at your throat. It's radiant like the sun at sunset. Blissful warmth and radiance. And recognize this red R as the pure speech of the Buddhas. This red syllable there at your throat also makes its own sound, the sound R. And blissful red light, like the sun, radiates throughout your whole body. It flows through all of your subtle psychic channels. It flows through your blood, through all of your muscles and your bones, filling your whole body with radiant red light energy, limitless energy like the sun. And all impure conceptions of speech are completely cleansed and purified. As the radiant red light fills your body, all the uncontrolled negative speech is cleansed and purified. All the harmful speech cleansed and purified. And as we recite the syllable R and that sound resonates in our body, your speech becomes harmonized with enlightened speech, enlightened, perfect communication. The very sound of the R resonating in your throat and your body harmonizes all of the strata of your communications. Your speech becomes harmonious. So once again, we'll recite the R together. Resonating through your whole body with the radiant red warmth and light, the red light energy filling your whole nervous system, every atom becoming radiant and glowing with this red light energy. Ah. And now just be without expectation in a state of intense awareness of your own consciousness, stable awareness. Your whole consciousness is the red R. Don't feel that you're looking down at the R. You are the R. The sound resonating in your whole experience. Non-dual, spacious. Feel that your speech has been completely purified and cleansed. The impetus to communicate, purified. All the negative karma has accumulated with the speech, cleansed and purified. All the internal dialogue harmonized with enlightened speech. All of those internal habits, negative ways of framing the world, destructive speech patterns and ways of describing, completely cleansed and purified. Your speech, your impetus to communicate, the main way we connect with others, completely purified in that blissful red radiance. And now gently shifting your focus to the blue hum at your heart. Recognize that this blue hum is the non-dual wisdom of all the Buddhas. Is radiating blissful blue light in all directions. This blue light permeates all of space without obstruction. The blue light fills your body. The sound of the hum resonates throughout your whole body. the experience of this blue hum, the infinite, boundless wisdom of all the Buddhas. In this blue radiance, you lay down the burden of all afflictive emotions, of all distorted states of mind. All narrow thoughts disappear. All obsessive minds disappear. All indecision and doubt disappear. It's not that they go anywhere. They just disappear in this radiance. Infinite blue light. Your consciousness, infinite blue light. Embracing entire universal reality. And so just as the light from the hum radiates in all directions, so too does the sound, filling all of space. Oh, oh, the sound waves radiating throughout space in all directions without obstruction, continuously traveling through space in all directions throughout the universe, throughout many universes. And as the sound waves radiate, so too does your awareness expand. Your intensive awareness, embracing all of universal reality. Oh. 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 Just feel and be without expectation, limitless clarity, limitless space, intensive awareness, clear, blissful. Your awareness without limit, connected with all living beings, embracing all reality, non-dual. This is the pure nature of your mind. Recognize this as your nature. And then once again, becoming aware of all three radiant syllables residing there in your body. Feel that blue hum, the strength of the radiance of that blue and that sound pervading everything. The natural purity of your mind. The red R, radiant and expansive at your throat, bringing the warmth of communication to all beings. The white Om in the center of your head, radiant, clear, blissful. All of our senses and their expression completely purified. Our body no longer heavy or congested, but clean, sparkling, clear, like diamond or crystal, radiant with white light, recognize these three seed syllables as the seeds of your own potential for enlightened body, speech, and mind. They're within you all the time. And dedicate all of the efforts and the merit, the good-heartedness and good intentions, the sincerity of this meditation, to being able to remember, recall these three syllables, to recall our potential for freedom and enlightenment, that we can bring forth those qualities, those enlightened qualities, for ourselves and to benefit the infinite living beings. feeling the harmony and the resonance of those three syllables, and making a strong determination to live our life in harmony with these three modes of being, in harmony with enlightened activity, with enlightened communication, with the enlightened mind of limitless love, compassion, and wisdom. So dedicating all of that energy to being able to, in this way, enlighten ourselves, become fully enlightened Buddhas, and in that way be able to effortlessly, spontaneously help all living beings achieve this state also. And then take a nice deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Feel very happy for having done this meditation and connected with your enlightened potential. And we can say a dedication prayer. So many of you are familiar with this dedication prayer from the Way of the Bodhisattva. His Holiness the Dalai Lama's favorite dedication. May all beings everywhere plagued by sufferings of body and mind obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid. May those bound be freed. May the powerless find power. And may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may we too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming to the meditation tonight.